always good to be with you. I want to begin by sharing a little bit about why nature has been such an important experience for me in my life. I grew up in Lawton, Oklahoma, which is not too far away, and one of the things that I did on a fairly routine basis, probably two or three times a month actually, would be to go to the wildlife refuge, the Wichita Wildlife Refuge, and hike either with my parents or with a friend. And also, we had 160 acres just next door to our neighborhood. And so the days and weekends that I didn't make it out to the Wichita Wildlife Refuge, I would often spend time in that 160 acres, hopefully not getting into too much trouble, but enjoying being outside, getting connected with nature. And then also my family, we spent a lot of time going to national parks when I was growing up. We would jump in what we now lovingly call the Wally Wagon from the Wally World vacation movie that you might have seen. And yes, our station wagon really did look very similar to the Wally Wagon. And we really didn't know where we were going half the time, but maybe my dad did. He didn't really give us a good sense. But every summer, we'd jump in the Wally Wagon or some car like it and just go west and have some kind of circle, very large circle out west that would eventually bring us back to Lawton after about 3 or 4 weeks. And during those vacations, and there were probably at least 13 or 14 vacations like that while I was growing up, we probably hit every single national park west of the Mississippi, including Yellowstone a couple of times, Glacier National Park, which may no longer be known as Glacier National Park, unfortunately, in the not too distant future, the Olympic National Park, Mount Rainier, Yosemite, Grand Canyon, 5 times we walked down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon as I was growing up at different ages. So really a great experience of seeing nature in all of its beauty, and also sometimes, unfortunately, in some of its danger as well. I not only learned to love nature, I also, on some of those trips, learned to respect nature and be aware that nature can be dangerous at times. Remembering one time when we got lost in the Sawtooth Mountains in Idaho, unfortunately made our way out alive. But those experiences were formative for me. In fact, one of the things I lament, maybe my greatest lamentation for my own daughters, is they have not yet cultivated, or perhaps I have failed to help cultivate, the appreciation of nature to the point that they like to go on those kinds of adventures and those kinds of hikes. I have a few years left to try to work on them. Another really wonderful experience of nature growing up is when my maternal grandparents retired when I was 8 years old. They moved from Madison, Wisconsin, all the way out to Port Angeles, Washington State. My mom had actually been born in Portland, Oregon, and then they moved to Wisconsin, where my grandfather worked at the University of Wisconsin for about 30 years. But they had always planned on retiring back to the Pacific Northwest. And when they did, I took every opportunity I could to visit them there. In fact, they were there for 23 years. I visited them 25 times during that time. Now, my carbon footprint was probably increased by all those trips to see them, but I wasn't thinking about that at the time. But I'd spend at least a week there, usually 2 weeks, spending time in their garden, which was one of the best gardens I've ever seen. It was about 1 acre in size, and hiking through the Olympic Mountains and the rainforests and some of the old growth forests there as well, and also hiking some around Mount Rainier. And those experiences also were very formative for me in terms of appreciating the beauty, the awesome, the wonder of nature, but also formative for me in terms of seeing that we don't always treat nature the way that we ought to treat it. Every time I'd go to Washington State, I remember seeing the clear cuts of the forest there. And I went there for 23 years. So I saw each time I went more areas as we flew into Seattle, more areas that had been clear cut each year. And then also over a 23-year period, I saw some of the recession, the receding of the glaciers in the Olympic Mountains as well. In fact, looking at some of the pictures that I took when I was very young, when my family took when I was very young, compared to the pictures in my late 20s, there is a significant difference in terms of where those glaciers are. So the concern that we were not caring for nature, treating the nature in the way that we should. As I got older and began to reflect on how my religious faith, my Christian faith, connected with my appreciation of nature, and especially as I began to study this more carefully in college and seminary and also in my PhD work, I began to be concerned with something you may not have heard this before, but those who identify themselves as Christian, those who identify themselves as Christian, on average have less ecologically friendly attitudes and practices than those who do not identify as Christians, which is concerning. And as this became, I became more aware of this, I began to ask myself more and more, why is this the case? Why would persons who identify as Christians within our society, within our culture, be less ecologically friendly in their practices and attitudes? Because for me, it seemed like there was a great deal within the Christian tradition that spoke to having a positive relationship, being good stewards, being persons who care in a responsible manner for creation. So I asked this question, why? Maybe, and there are many scholars who've looked at this question as well, maybe it's because so many of us who identify as Christians focus too much on the other world as opposed to focusing on this world. Maybe those of us who identify as Christians on average focus a little bit too much on heaven and not enough on earth. Maybe we're focusing a little bit too much on the next life and not enough on what we're doing in this life. Maybe we're focusing too much on spirit and not enough on caring for the material world, the world of nature around us. Maybe those are some of the reasons, but if we look at the Bible, if we look at the Jewish tradition, if we look at the Christian tradition, there's actually a number of scriptures, there's a number of points in our tradition that are profoundly interested in this world, profoundly interested in caring for and loving and saving this world, profoundly interested in this life and what we do in this life in terms of caring for each other, in terms of doing justly in relation to each other, in terms of caring for the earth. And so I wanted to point to some of those themes in the biblical tradition and also the tradition of our faith that point to a profound interest and care for this world, an interest in loving and saving this world. I tend not to, in my talks, focus on trying to find themes that start with the same letter, but it kind of got fun for me this time because so many of the themes that I was thinking about started with the letter C. And so I just went with it. I decided every theme that I'm going to focus on is going to start with the letter C. And so I have seven C's for you today, beginning with creation. Creation. So when we look at creation in the biblical tradition, and the biblical tradition starts with it, right? It's at the very beginning. We see that creation is what?
Good.
It's good. It's good. And not just a part of it, right? Every single bit of creation is good. After every day, God looks at what was created and says, it is good. And then, after the sixth day, what does God say? Do we remember?
Very good.
Very good.
Right. Now, sometimes we human beings, being humans, and thinking that we're special, hear those words, very good, on the sixth day, and we think, well, we're very good, and the rest of nature is just good. But actually, that's not what we find in the creation story, right? It's all of creation, including human beings, are very good, not just human beings. So from the very beginning, we had this emphasis on creation, including human beings. Creation, of which humans are a part, being very, very good. And then we have our second theme of care. Care. Now, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, and I don't even play one on TV, and I don't pretend to be a Hebrew scholar, but I do have some friends who are Hebrew scholars. Lisa Wolf at Oklahoma City University is one of those. And the term that we often translate as dominion, sometimes we translate it as ruling over, probably a better translation in the context of the creation story would be responsible care, to have responsible care for, or stewardship for. And so I think that's important to emphasize, because sometimes when we hear that English word dominion, we start to think of ourselves as being special again as human beings, and think that we have the ability to simply rule over the rest of creation. But what the scriptures are really getting at is caring for creation in a responsible way. And one of those ways is by following the Sabbath, not only allowing for a time for us as human beings to rest, but also to allow nature to rest, to allow the land to rest, to allow animals to rest. And then also you see the Sabbath year tradition, which allows for even more rest and care for the land. And then if we want to get very radical, we can point to the year of Jubilee, which allows for a correction of all the injustices, not only to human beings, but also to the land, that have been made over the past 49 years. Those are corrected in the 50th year. I don't think there's any evidence, unfortunately, that the year of Jubilee was ever fully brought into being. But responsible care is a key theme in the Bible. The third theme is that of covenant. Covenant. And David mentioned that in his prayer, and he mentioned the key point that I want to make, and that is the covenant, although sometimes we only think about it being between God and the people, the covenant also includes a third thing, the land. It's a covenant among God, people, and the land. And not only are the people to care for each other and to love and serve God, they are also to take care of the land, to take care of nature. And that's something that we often lose in our understanding of covenant. The fourth C is that of connection. Connection. The fact that the justice for people is connected with justice for nature. The fact that we're all connected with one another, that we're all interdependent, that we're dependent on the land, we're dependent on the air, we're dependent on the water. If you don't think we're dependent on nature, I invite you to stop breathing. I invite you to stop drinking, stop eating, stop interacting with the natural world, and you'll see how dependent you are very, very quickly. We are connected, but we live as if we are not. We have an attitude of being disconnected. We don't live as if we are interdependent, as if we are dependent on each other and on the natural world. We live in a disconnected society, a society of a digital age, in which we're perhaps more connected to our devices than we are to people and the planet. And this is something that we must somehow move beyond. Some people are involved in a movement that's called Disconnect to Reconnect. Disconnecting from all of our technology, perhaps not all of it, that may be impossible. We've become as dependent on technology, perhaps, as we are on nature. But to be mindful about disconnecting at least some from the technology in order to enter into more meaningful personal relationships with other persons and with the rest of nature. This is needed now more than ever. There was a study from 1979 to 2009 that Michigan State University did on empathy. And in that study of seniors in high school who were surveyed over that 30-year period, each year they'd get a new group of seniors and they'd give them a survey to measure their level of empathy. From 1979 to 2009, there was a 45% drop in empathy. And the majority of that drop happened in the last 10 years of that study. I'd hate to see what the last 10 years would show us in terms of where empathy is now. So this ability to put ourselves in each other's shoes, this ability to feel what others are feeling, we're losing that. We're losing that connection with each other, which is related to the fifth theme, the fifth C of community. Community is a core theme within the biblical tradition, within the tradition of our faith. I like to think of the community as the beloved community of all creation, a community in which the primary values that we should be living out in the world are love and justice. And we certainly have within our tradition the symbols of community. We have the cup of community that we share within our communion. We have the emphasis in our biblical tradition on koinonia and sharing and caring for each other and loving each other within community. But perhaps sometimes we don't think enough of our community as being the community of all creation, not just the human community, but also the larger ecological community of which we are a part. A sixth theme is that of compassion. Compassion or love, especially compassion for the most vulnerable in our community, both the human and ecological community. We read today Matthew 25, which is one of those passages that perhaps in the strongest terms points to the need for us to reach out to those who are the most vulnerable among us. Those who are hungry, thirsty, those who are sick, those who are in prison, those who are homeless, those who need clothing. We are to be the love of God to these persons, with these persons in our midst. And that compassion is also to be extended to creation as well. Not only because other members of creation are vulnerable, but also because creation is the activity of God in the world. And if we are to love each other as ourselves and to love God, part of loving God is loving God's activity of the world as we see it and experience it in creation. So creation, care, covenant, connection, community, compassion, and then finally, a C that you're not going to find in the Bible. So I'm going to go beyond the Bible here a little bit, but it's actually, I think, deeply connected to those values that we've been talking about up to this point. But the seventh C is climate justice. Climate justice. If we are going to share love in this world today, if we are going to bring about justice in this world today, we have to be concerned about climate justice. Justice for people in the human community will not be possible without a livable climate. We have to have a livable climate for people to get what they deserve, for people to get what they need to flourish as human beings within the human community. We must have a livable climate. Given the scientific evidence, which is overwhelming, I'll bring out another C, consensus, yes. If you look at the climate scientists in the world who actually look at climate change for a living, who've studied this their whole lives, there's a tremendous consensus among them. More consensus than you usually find within scientific communities on something this big. A tremendous consensus that climate change is real, that human activity is the primary contributor to climate change. And then we, in relation to those two facts, must realize that we as human beings have a responsibility to do something about it. If it's real, if we're the primary reason for it, then we have a responsibility to do something about it. And that includes the church. Another C, by the way. The church has responsibility to care for creation by working for climate justice in this world. Many persons are worried about the survival of the church. Many people are concerned about the institution of the church making it through the end of this century. Well, I can guarantee you that if we don't work for climate justice, the institution of the church will not make it for very much longer, because human civilization will not make it very much longer. I've said in this setting before, you all know we are in the sixth great extinction on the planet. There were five other extinctions. This is the only one that's caused by one species, human beings. It's the great challenge of our time to do something about that. And the church should be the place where we come together out of a sense of love and community and creativity to find new ways of being in the world, to have new visions, to have new dreams about how we can live together within human and ecological community. So that vision of the church, as a beloved community of all creation, connected in covenant with each other, with God and the land, caring for all creation with compassion, working for climate justice. That's a vision of the church for the 21st century. That's a vision of the church in our times. Put more simply, this vision is acting justly, loving mercy, walking humbly with the God of all creation. Amen.
Amen. Amen.